Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, this week is special in that we're taking time just to review some of the events following the immediate resurrection of the Lord Jesus and His appearances to His disciples, believing that we can find application for our own lives and to see the Lord's purposes and how He dealt with them at a time that they were totally disillusioned, totally depressed, totally cast down, because all their hopes and desires for the kingdom to be restored and to see Jesus recognized as the Messiah were brought to naught because He was crucified as a common criminal and died, buried in a tomb. And so what I'd like to do for this broadcast and perhaps tomorrow's, we're going to look at the final chapter in the book of John. That's chapter 21. And I'd like to read just a few excerpts from that chapter. Verse 1 declares, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them," He must have called, He said, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered Him, "No." And He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which of course was John, saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring off the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. And so Jesus cometh, taketh the bread, giveth them, and fish likewise. Verse 14 says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples. After that, He was risen from the dead." And then we have the account of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love Me?" And let me now go to verse 24. "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." So what we want to do is spend a little bit of time at looking at this amazing breakfast on the beach. I just love this story. Now, in every age, we've had men that have particularly been drawn to the disciplines of science. And those scientific minds have searched for logical explanations for the mysteries of life. And that was true 2,000 years ago when Christ our Lord conquered death and the tomb. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, reveals that the Lord responded to the desire for his disciples for proof. In Acts 1 and 3, the word says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And today, we can be grateful that Jesus completely convinced his disciples of his victory over death in the grave. They knew he was alive, and we can be assured that it took absolute concrete evidence to convince them that Christ was risen. For he was in the grave. He was confined to the tomb. He was behind a huge boulder that sealed that sepulcher. First of all, he was dead. That cold hand of death had gripped his body firmly. And also there were linen grave clothes. They were wound tightly around his body after the fashion of the day. And there was also that great huge stone rolled before the entrance of the tomb to prevent entrance or exit. And then there was the official seal of the Roman government that had been affixed to the tomb. And finally, there were Roman guards posted near the tomb to make certain that no one came to retrieve Christ's body. So the first piece of evidence that was presented as proof that Christ had conquered death in the grave was, first of all, the empty tomb. He wasn't there. Many testified that the tomb was empty. Even the non-believers, the women found it empty. The disciples found it empty. The angel declared it was empty. The Jewish Sanhedrin had to admit that it was empty. So the evidence of the empty tomb is not all that proves Christ had conquered death and the grave. We know there were other signs and indications. The New Testament mentions at least 10 different appearances of our Lord to his disciples. And in these appearances, he gave them an absolute assurance of his living presence. On yesterday's broadcast, we looked at Thomas. He knew what Thomas had said. And he said, "Okay, Thomas, come here, put your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And so, the Lord convinced his disciples that he really was alive. He gave them proof, and he gave them an apprehension of the purpose for his death on the cross. He gave them a divine authority to go to the ends of the earth and to proclaim the significance of his death and resurrection. And if we will just examine this appearance, if we will, of the Lord to his disciples on the sea or at the Sea of Tiberias, I believe it will speak to needs that we have in our present lives. First of all, the Lord manifested himself deliberately. It says, as that chapter opens, he showed himself again. This wasn't his first appearance, nor was it the last. He deliberately chose this occasion to convey a message to his followers. On this wise showed he himself. In other words, John, the writer of this gospel, was impressed by the special manner in which Jesus showed himself. And there's something about the way he recollects this, that it's something to be remembered, because there's something precious in the manner in which Christ revealed himself. He came to the disciples on the level of their experience. And this is really important. It's significant. We should take note of it. First of all, there was nothing unique or significant about the place where Jesus appeared. There were thousands of places similar to that, the shore at the Sea of Tiberias. It wasn't necessary for the disciples to travel to some shrine or some historical place to have an audience with the Christ. Jesus just appeared in a very ordinary setting. And also, he appeared while the disciples were doing what they had previously done to earn a living. So what can this tell us? That Christ can approach us when we're busy with the everyday, common, mundane tasks of our lives. He will visit your home. He will come to your place of business. He is with you. He is not a God that's far off. He dwells within, praise God. And he does reveal himself at unique times and places. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so we can expect the Lord to be present because we bring him with us in the classroom, in our place of work. We can expect the living Lord to be present in the place of prayer and worship when God's people come together to praise him, to worship him. He's there where two or three are gathered. Isn't that what he said? And as we become more experienced, as we mature in our Christian walk, there are certain places where we would have had an experience with God. And to return to one of those places is to encourage the faith and response that makes it possible to have a fresh experience with the living Christ. For each of us, it might be a different place. You know, it's also important, if I can take a little aside, that every day we have a special place that we can set aside. Your easy chair, a place in one of your rooms in your home or wherever it is. It's just a special place where you will meet with the Lord. And we just know that our God has not changed. Just as he was concerned and wanted to minister to the needs of his disciples during their time of trouble and heartache and affliction, he wants to minister to us today. The Lord is concerned about you and I. He was concerned about his disciples' well-being, and we'll look at that tomorrow. But as I see now, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you so much for joining me, and I pray as we go about, and as you go about the events of this week, for some, there may be family get-togethers, special times at church. May you truly recognize the personal joy and victory you have because Jesus is alive. He triumphed over the grave. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.